When I came back to school on Monday, it was crazy actually, because on Friday I had this year 10 class, and one of my students in my class, she came up to me and she was saying, "Sir, does my face look funny?" And this girl's a bit of a clown, so I was just ignoring her, going, "Yeah, whatever, you're trying to get out of doing your work." And then on Monday, she comes up to me and she's saying, "Sir, look, see what happens?" And I still just thought she was clowning around and making a joke. And she came up to me about three times that morning while I'm teaching another class, said, "Sir, can't you see something's happened to me?" And I'm just like, this girl's just, you know, making up stories. And then at recess, I'm in our staff room and this other teacher comes in and she starts talking about how this student over the weekend went to hospital and she was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. And basically what happens is that half the face becomes really weak and so she has no strength on that side of her face. So her face sort of like caves in. And I was like, oh man, this whole time I thought she was just mucking around. So at lunchtime, I went outside and just spent the whole lunch just sitting with her and her friends and just praying for her. And she, you know, she's Muslim, but she's come along to our Christian group at school. And yeah, she was mucking around. "Oh yeah, Jesus is going to heal me." But you know, every day I just kept going back to her and just pressing in to pray for her. And it's amazing because then she's like, she hasn't actually come to our Wednesday lunchtime meetings for a while. And she's like, "Sir, so do you guys still meet at lunchtimes?" I'm like, yeah, we haven't had it the last few weeks because of exams, but we're going to have it again. She's like, okay, I'm going to come. I'm just like, oh, okay. So, you know, for me, I realize, you know, sometimes, yeah, God moves and heals people just like that. And then other times, it's like, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why is it taking so long? And I've heard stories like, I know there's a guy, Randy Clark, who's really well known, you know, in Christian circles, is really big on impartation and praying for the sick. I remember him sharing how, you know, he'd speak at these conferences and he'd pray for people and people would be healed and people would get hit by the Spirit of God. But his own son was, I forget exactly what he was going through, but he had some, you know, really crazy illness. And for some reason, he didn't get healed, you know, and the family would just say, "God, why? What's going on?" And years later, he ended up getting healed. And it was just like the most amazing testimony and so powerful. And, you know, I know for some of us, there are things that we just go, "God, come on, why hasn't this happened yet?" And we don't know. We don't understand that. But let's not be discouraged. Let's look at and focus on what God is doing and what God has done and believe and press in that he's going to continue and he's going to move with those other things. So I just really want to encourage you. You know, like, again, this girl at school, from my perspective, nothing's happened. Her face, you know, she's still got the Bell's palsy. But I'm going to press in and I'm going to believe that God is going to heal her. And not only is he going to heal her physically, but he's going to bring restoration to her heart. And he's going to take her, you know, to places she's never been, you know, into the depths of his heart. So let's be a community that really presses in for those things, that really lives as Jesus lived. You know, he's our model for this life. And after watching, you know, Compelled by Love last night, it's really hit me that, you know, we only get one crack at this. This isn't, you know, a dress rehearsal. This is life. Yeah, and I remember there's one girl that she shared on Compelled by Love. She works for Iris Ministries, which is the Baker's ministry. And she said, "I don't want to get to heaven. I don't want to come face to face with Jesus and have any regret." Yeah, and that's something that really sits on my heart. Like, I don't want to go home, you know, to heaven and go, "You know what? There's so many things that, so many opportunities, so many doors that God opened for me, yet I didn't step in. I was too afraid, or I was worried about what people were going to think." You know, I didn't step out in the playground and go and pray for this girl because I'm worried that these kids are going to think that I'm just crazy, okay? But let's really step in and just pursue after the things of God. All right, let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are such a good God. We just thank you for this community, Lord God, that we are a people, Lord God, who just pursue and desire you. And I just pray that we'll be a people just sold out, wholehearted abandonment for you, Lord God, that we will just live every day with heaven in view, Lord God, that we would make the most of the opportunities that you've given us, the place and people that you've put in our lives, Lord God. And we just give all the glory to you. We just ask that you would speak to us here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to talk for too long today, hopefully. I was going to speak and preach about our vision at Full Life, but I'm sort of going to put that off for another week. And this is sort of like a prequel, like, you know, just building up to that. And we're just going to look at a passage in Luke 19. But before we do that, I just want to read Luke chapter 4. So it's Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. So what happens is Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, okay? And, you know, he hasn't really done anything yet. He's just new on the scene. But he goes into the temple. And, you know, in the temple is the scrolls, okay, of the Old Testament. And what he does is he unravels one of the scrolls. And he quotes from Isaiah 61. And he says in verse 18, so it's Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to release the oppressed. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, he goes into the temple and he starts quoting scripture, okay? The people that were in the temple, the religious people, they knew, okay, that this was from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And they're probably thinking to themselves, who is this guy? He's not a Pharisee. He's not a religious leader. Yet he walks in. It's like some guy walking in off the street, coming down the front, taking the mic off me and start, you know, reading from the scriptures. We'd all be like, who is this guy and what is he doing? Okay, but what I find funny is that here's Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I'm here. I've arrived. Okay, I'm here to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. I'm here to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The funny thing is, he doesn't preach that to the multitudes outside. He comes inside the temple and he says, you know what? You guys are stuck in captivity. You guys are living in oppression and I'm here to set you free. Yeah, and the religious people, they didn't get it. But what Jesus was saying is that the Pharisees, they were stuck in a system of religion. And because of that, they were living with broken-hearted hearts. They were living in captivity. They were in the church. They were in the temple. Yet they were in bondage to religion. Yeah, and in the church, there's the Spirit of God and there's a religious spirit. And we either walk with God, led by the Holy Spirit, or we come back to living for ourselves and all about what we do. And it's very subtle, okay? But basically what Jesus is doing here is he's taking hold, he's taking possession of his identity, okay? And he's saying, this is who I am, and this is what God, my Father, has called me to do. And we need to realize that our testimony of Jesus in our own life, That is so powerful. That affects everything we do. Because as I've said previously, how we view God in our own lives is how we give away God to others. So your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, it affects the way you relate to other people. It affects the way you see yourself. You know, if the gospel's not good news to you, it's not going to be good news to anyone else around you. If Jesus has moved in your life, if he's done amazing and mighty things, other people are going to see that in the way you live. You know, when we watched Compelled by Love last night, you know, people were saying, like, you know, the Bakers, like, they can preach. Like, they're crazy preachers. They both got PhDs and, you know, all that sort of stuff too. But I remember someone saying, you know, their preaching is powerful. But what's even more powerful is the way they live their lives. You know, these guys are in the dirt in Africa, just loving people. You know, one of the crazy testimonies for me from watching it last night was there was this girl and she only had one leg, I think it was. And growing up, basically, you know, her family just saw her as another mouth to feed. But they're like, she's no good. She's only got one leg. Okay, I think she was selling her body to make money to, you know. And it got to a point where the parents were like, you know what? Let's just kill her. And so they told her brothers to go and throw stones at her. And so they stoned her, basically thinking that they'd killed her. But she was actually still alive. And what happened is that the Bakers took her in, looked after her. This girl, you know, came to love God, came to love Jesus. And, you know, you see her now. She's just this beautiful young woman. It's amazing just the way that God's moved in her life. And then it got to a point where she goes up to Heidi Baker and she goes, you know, I'm going to go home to my family. And Heidi Baker's just like, what? You can't go back there. You can't go back. They wanted you dead. They basically killed you. How can you go back to them? And she said, I have to go back to them. You've taught me about love. You've taught me about the Father's love. How can I not go back to my family and tell them about Jesus? How can I not share God's love with my own family, even though they tried to kill me? And it was just so powerful. You know, this girl, left for dead, stoned to death by her own family, wants to go back. And again, you know why? Because of Jesus. Because of her testimony of who Jesus is and what he had done in her life. And I want to challenge us. How do we see God? Who is Jesus for us? What has Jesus done in our lives? What is our testimony of what he has done and who he is? Because again, that's the single most important thing in our lives. You know, for me, there's a verse in Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 31:3. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I've drawn you with loving kindness. And you know, that's a life verse for me. Because that's really who God is to me. You know, when I was down and out, when I was far from him, he continued to love me with an everlasting love. You know, it's his loving kindness, his goodness that opened my heart back up to him and drew me towards him. You know, that song that we sang before, Dance With Me, that's my favorite worship song of all time. Just because during this time, it was just a song that, you know, God just said to me, this is who you are. This is how I feel about you. I love you. You're my beloved. Yeah, and we need to know who we are in God. Yeah, I might sound like a broken record, just going on and on about identity. But it's because everything else flows from there. Everything else flows from knowing who God is for us and knowing who we are in him. Yeah, again, you know, Jesus hadn't done anything and he walks into the synagogue and goes, this is who I am. He pronounces, look, this is who I am. I'm here. I've arrived. And I'm not taking a backward step. You know, I'm marching forward every step of the way till Calvary. Yeah, and that's the way we should be living our lives too. What do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about? If God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah, and again, sometimes I just think we complicate things. We get so caught up in playing church or looking good in front of other people. You know, the world is waiting to see who God really is. The world wants to know what Christianity is all about. But you can only give away what you first receive yourself. Yeah, if we don't know God intimately, if we don't know that He's a good Father, if we don't know who Jesus is and how He feels about us, what's the point? What do we have to give to the world? What do we have to make a difference in this life? The world wants to know who God really is and what Christianity is all about. If you've got your Bibles, let's just quickly turn to Luke chapter 19. So it's Luke chapter 19. So it's a story about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. So starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, a lot of people say that the reason why Zacchaeus climbed up that tree was because he was a short man. Okay, he was short, so he needed to get up the tree so he could get a good sight of Jesus. But you know what? This guy was a tax collector. This guy was amongst the most hated of people in society in his day. I don't think he was just climbing up that tree because he was short. I think he was climbing up that tree because he had a lot of enemies down there. And he didn't want to be seen amongst his enemies. Okay? He was hiding. He was scared. So he climbed that tree so he could get a good view of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now this guy, he's a tax collector. Okay? He rips people off. He might have a lot of wealth, but he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have anyone in his life. And what's he looking for? He's looking to be accepted and to be loved. Every single one of us, we're all looking to be accepted and to be loved. And what does Jesus do? Out of all the people there in the crowd, he calls out to Zacchaeus. Now, I don't know how he knew Zacchaeus' name or whether, you know, like, it's funny because we've been, you know, I've been studying this last month about hearing the voice of God, and now we're studying the prophetic. It's like, I think to myself, did Jesus have like a vision of seeing himself having dinner at Zacchaeus' house? And so that's why he called out to Zacchaeus, I must eat with you tonight. Or, you know, did he just know that this is what the Father wants me to do? It's cool to think about that. But whatever it may be, Jesus goes and has dinner with this man. And what happens? Straight away, Zacchaeus changes. Straight away, Zacchaeus is like, look, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Doesn't say Jesus did anything. Doesn't say Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you're a bad man. You've been cheating and ripping people off. Give your money back. Give stuff back to the poor. Jesus didn't do that at all. All he did was show this man love and acceptance. All Jesus did was just be himself. And he went straight through this man's heart. He went straight through to this tax collector's heart. Zacchaeus just wanted to be loved and accepted. And the only person that would give him that love and acceptance was Jesus. Jesus didn't have to preach some sermon. Jesus didn't have to get him to recite some sinner's prayer. He just loved him. Yeah, and again, like watching Compelled by Love last night, you just go, it's all about love. You know, that's what it's all about. That's how you open people's hearts up. When they see the love of the Father, when they see the love of Christ, hearts just melt because we all just want to be loved and accepted. Yeah, and last week I shared the story of Yasmin, one of my students. And for those of you that weren't here, basically this girl, she's in year 9, and you know, she's known for her aggressive behavior. And Monday the other week, I was walking through the corridors and she comes running out of a class and she's just in tears. And so I followed her. I said, Yasmin, what's going on? What's wrong? And she just yelled out, I hate that teacher. And I was like, oh, here we go again. Nothing new. And so I just went and sat with her, you know, got her some tissues, got her to calm down. And I just said again, so what's wrong? What happened? She's like, oh, I had my bag on the table and the teacher told me to put my bag on the floor. I'm thinking, man, you're getting so worked up about that. She's like, I hate that teacher. Anyway, being the good teacher that I am, I had to, you know, back my colleagues up and say, look, Yasmin, you got to see things from, you know, the teacher's point of view. And then she just starts going, she turns off and she goes, not another lecture. I was like, okay, that's not working, is it? And I felt the Lord just saying to me, tell her that she's a leader. And I said, you know, Yasmin, you're a leader. And her face just lit up. Her countenance just changed. And she was just like, me? A leader? Yeah, it was like the first time in her life someone had actually said something good about her. Yeah, it was like the first time in her life she'd ever received a compliment. And everything just totally changed about her. And then the next day, you know, I teach her, so I had her for class, you know, straight after recess. And she's there like a few minutes before any of the other girls. And she walks into the classroom and goes, I'm first! And walks straight back out. I'm not a nerd! And I said to her, Yasmin, it's all right. You're a leader. That's why you're here first. And again, her face lit up. Oh, that's right. She came in and she sat down. And you know what? Like, she's been totally different in class. And, you know, I've been shocked. I've been amazed. And part of me is just saying to God, like, this is too easy. You know? Like, I didn't even do anything. I just gave her the word from you to her. I just said, you know, you're a leader. And it just changed everything. I just showed her love and acceptance, just as Jesus did to Zacchaeus. And just bang, changed. Obviously, it's not working in all the classes, because I walked past the deputy principal's office the other day and she was sitting outside. But it was funny because working at a girls' school, some other girls were in the deputy principal's office and they were in tears, and partly it was my fault because it had happened in my class. But you know, and the deputy principal's there giving them a hug, and Yasmin's like, oh, why don't, like, teachers, you know, be nice to me when I'm crying and stuff? I'm like, Yasmin, it's because you're a leader. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And then one of her friends is there that I taught last year. And And then I said to her, I was like, what are you talking about? When you were crying the other day, I went and got you tissues and chocolates and you rejected my chocolates. A teacher had just given me a box of chocolates. I was like, okay, I shouldn't be eating this. So I tried to offload them to my students. Usually that stuff works, but she was just like, no, I don't want any chocolates. But then she was like to her friend, yeah, you know, sir told me I'm a leader, you know. And then her friend sort of like, what about me, you know? it was pretty cool, you know. And just, you know, just seeing that change in her. Yeah, it's amazing just that we don't have to really do anything. Yeah, as I said, sometimes we complicate things. You know, thinking, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to, you know, I got to look good as a Christian. And, you know, it just comes back to love. Yeah, you look at what Jesus did. Yeah, Jesus said, I only do, you know, what I see the Father doing. And, you know, for my life, I only want to do what I see my Heavenly Father doing. And, you know, I'm realizing more and more how much I do out of my own strength and how much I do thinking I know what's right. You know, I know the Bible. You know, I read a lot of Christian books. I listen to a lot of sermons. You know, thinking, you know, all these things are great. But I'm realizing, you know what? I don't want to act or do anything out of my own strength and my own thoughts. I want to live from His presence. I want to live from communing with Him. Because that's what I'm called to. That's what we're all called to. You know, to be people of His presence. It's the presence of God that sets us apart. You know, if I went back to my staff room and I told my colleagues that I just told this girl she's a leader, they would look at me and go, what the hell is wrong with you? There's no way that girl is a leader. There's no way that girl, you know, there's nothing good about her, is what they would tell me. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard, you know, being in a, you know, not, sometimes hard being in a place where you know God has placed you for a purpose, for a reason, to bring change, yet there's resistance to that change. Because people are happy just letting things be the way they are. Yeah, and again, I'm being convicted in my own life. You know, I can just stay as I am. And, you know, I think I'm pretty good, you know. You guys are still awake. But I know that God wants to change me. God wants to transform me and make me more like Christ. And I have to embrace that process. Because as soon as we stand still, we're not living in the fullness. He wants us to go from glory to glory. And it's uncomfortable. You know, change, it's uncomfortable. And there's going to be times, there's going to be stuff that we go through as individuals, but also as a community, that makes us feel uncomfortable. That there are going to be times where we question things. We question what God is doing. But we need to come back to Him and say, you know what? We want to be like Christ. We want to live in the fullness. We want to live lives that make a difference for all eternity. We don't want to just, you know, get through life and go to heaven. Yeah, you know, I was listening to a song yesterday, Maranatha, like means come, Lord Jesus. And I was listening to it, and it was such an awesome song. But part of me is just like, no, Jesus, you can't come yet. You can't come. There's too much to be done. There's too much for us to step into. You know, the greatest thing about being a Christian is not that God would just save us and call us sons and daughters. But He would call us sons and daughters and give us an inheritance so that we can sow into the kingdom, so that we can bring change and transformation to this world. And that's what it's all about. That's what we want to be about at Full Life. Yeah, our vision says Full Life to raise up a people in passionate pursuit of God, whose desire is to see his kingdom break into every aspect and area of our lives. We want to equip, encourage, and empower each other to go out under the influence of the Holy Spirit and bring restoration and transformation to lives, cities, and nations. We want to see heaven invade earth. You know, I was just sharing with some of the guys earlier that one of the guys that is doing the Dayspring school with me, he's a painter, and he was working at this old couple's house, and he knew this old lady, you know, had some sort of injury or was struggling physically. And so he went up to her and said, "Oh, is it all right if I pray for you?" And she was like, "Oh, you're a real Christian, are you? You want to pray for me?" And he was a bit taken aback, you know, like a real Christian. Yeah, how many times do we let those opportunities go by? How many times do we let those opportunities go by when God has placed people right in front of us for us to pray for us to share his love with, for us to step out? You know, sometimes nothing happens. And, you know, I've got to keep telling myself that. It's okay to get it wrong. It's okay that nothing happens. Keep pressing in. Because, you know, if I pray for 10 people and one person gets healed, do I focus on the 9 people that didn't get healed, or do I focus on the one that did get healed? That's a choice I have to make. And I'm realizing, you know what? It's okay that those 9 didn't get healed yet. But what about that one? You know? What happens if I don't speak to Yasmin? If I don't say to her, "You're a leader," and I just keep lecturing her, what happens? Nothing changes. She continues on that cycle round and round. Yeah, and I know that, you know, there'll be times with her at school where she goes back to her old ways, because the environment that she's in most of the time is one where she's put down, where she's not told about the gold that exists in her. And I know that I have to speak that life into her. I have to pull out that gold. Yeah, and that's who Jesus was. That's what Jesus was all about. He would go up to a tax collector. You know, one of the worst people in this society. And he would go up to him and say, "You know what? I'm coming to your place tonight for dinner." Doesn't do anything else, doesn't say anything else, and this guy's just hit that someone like Jesus would love and accept him, and his life is changed and transformed forever. That's what God calls us to as his sons and daughters. He calls us to call out the gold in people's lives, to speak truth. Yeah, every single one of us. You know, when I look around, I'm just blown away. You know, when I see you guys, I'm just like, you know what? We can shake this place up. We can change Sydney. If we step in to who God has called us to be, if we come together, we can change this place. We can change this community. Yeah, the thing is, so many of us, we don't realize what's on our life. We don't realize, you know, how God actually sees us and the power and anointing that is upon you. You know, I believe that just as Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, that there is an Isaiah 61 anointing upon this house to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted. That is what you are called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You are called to bring heaven to earth. You are called to see his kingdom infiltrate every aspect and area of your life, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your family. You know, we want to see God move. And we need to step in to our identity as sons and daughters, knowing that he is for us. And that if he is for us, who can stand against us? The world is waiting. The world is waiting for us to actually show them who God is. Everyone wants a king like Jesus. But so many times we just think, you know what? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about it. But you know what? Deep inside their hearts, they do. They do want to know about it. Because we were all made for communion with God. And this whole world, your friends, your family, they're craving that intimacy with God. Because it doesn't matter. You can have the best marriage in the world, but there's still something inside of you that marriage is not fulfilling. You can have the most beautiful kids. You can be the proudest mother and father in the world, but there's still something inside of you that those things don't hit. And because only God can hit that, because that's the way you were made. That's the way you were created. And the world is waiting for us to step up and to say, you know what? You know that thing that you desire, that thing that you long for, that fulfillment can only come from Jesus. So how about we stand? I just want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes and just imagine. I just want to ask you, how do you see God? When you close your eyes, what picture do you see of God? Who is God to you? What do you see? And you know what? Some of us, we don't see a loving father. You know, some of us, because of our own earthly father, we don't see a loving heavenly father. Some of us, because of the things that have happened in our lives, circumstances or situations where we feel like God hasn't come through for us, we don't see a good heavenly father. You know, for myself, you know, I realized that, you know, I never received much affirmation from my earthly father growing up. And I realized that affected the way I saw my heavenly father. But I had to let go of that. I had to forgive my earthly father so that I could have a proper view of who my heavenly father is. Yeah, and God wants you to remove your distorted view of him. He wants you to know that he has loved you with an everlasting love. And he has drawn you with a loving kindness. That nothing in this world can be compared to. Because he is so good. And he just wants to pour out his love upon you. He just wants to embrace you as his son, as his daughter, because he's just so in love with you. So let's just come before him. Just ask him to pour out that love upon us. Ask him to pour out his love and ask him to remove those distorted views of him that we have. Ask him to reveal exactly who he is. Let's pray.